Godcast with Josh Fritz, episode 85. Pastor John MacArthur and President Trump, a Godcast review.
Please like and subscribe to the Godcast YouTube channel. If you would like to donate to this ministry, please go to www.patreon.com/thegodcast. For more information, go to www.biblethumpingwingnut.com and www.thegodcastwithjoshfritz.com. Here's your host, my dad, Josh Fritz.
The Godcast with Josh Fritz, where the scripture is honored, the lost are warned, the saints are fortified, false teachers are exposed, and the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Here's your host, Josh Fritz.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of the Godcast with Josh Fritz. Thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight is September 17th, 2020. A little bit of a news update concerning John MacArthur and Grace Community Church. At this hour, they have been held in contempt for holding their church service. That was on Sunday, which I believe was, well, it's towards the end of the week now, so that would have to be on the, I think at the 10th, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, they held, I believe, three services, 8:30, 10, and 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And in that, they did not social distance. They did not keep 6 feet away. You know the story. If you follow the clips that I provided here on my YouTube channel and also on the Bible Thumping Wingnut YouTube channel, that's where you're going to find all of that information. If you want to take a peek, I guess, and look up Todd Starnes, there's a detailed article concerning that. That has been up for several hours now, stating that he is officially in contempt. So we know that John MacArthur is going to eventually be, something's going to happen here. I mean, it can't go any further. We already know that he's open to a prison ministry. So we're looking at that. We're looking at a lot of things here on my YouTube channel and also on the Bible Thumping Wingnut YouTube channel. Tonight, I want to do something different. I have a chat line. I actually have the window open, so if you have something to say, I am right here. I am going to interact with you, but I also have a couple things I want to talk about concerning President Trump and also Pastor John MacArthur. So I will comment here to talk to you if you want to if you have any questions. And I am typing that now as we speak. There you go. First off, I want to look at this article that was just released from the Daily Wire probably about an hour and a half ago. This is basically almost like a summary of this recent sermon, Pastor John MacArthur. And I want to look at this together with you, so let me do that and get my screens set up for you. Okay, so here in this Daily Wire, John MacArthur has taken a chunk out of the, I guess, the opinion page regarding the Daily Wire. So he's released several articles already. And basically, I want to read this article just to bring you up to date on what he's preaching at his pulpit, but on the same time, where we are and why attending the local church as believers is essential. So the title is Why the Church Has Never Been More Essential. And this was also recently tweeted out by his attorney, Jenna Ellis. One Nation Under God. That phrase recently and conspicuously omitted from the flag salute at some events during the Democratic National Convention reflects the intentions of America's founding fathers. They understood the necessity of acknowledging and submitting to divine authority. And not just any God, but the God revealed in the Bible. That same understanding informs our Constitution, which itself does not grant us rights, but rather recognizes, identifies, and defends those rights granted to us by God alone. So I want to keep reading this. You see a Ben Shapiro appearance there. Truth be told, the notion of a secular state is a lie. All government is ordained by God. The Bible makes that very point when it commands Christians to submit to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Romans 13, verse 1. And even when the government opposes, abuses, and persecutes the church, Christians can take comfort in the fact that such cruelty is not outside of God's sovereign control or his divine plan. Basically, from what I gather what he's saying, he's really speaking like the Apostle Peter, who says, didn't you know this was going to happen? You have to expect this, right? But what happens when those governing authorities refuse to acknowledge God and ignore his law? J.C. Ryle was Bishop of Liverpool at the end of the 19th century. He died in 1900, but his legacy and influence live on globally throughout the church to this day. Ryle was known as a lion for the truth. And when I say that, a lion for the truth, as I'm reading this, there will be a clip speaking to, not from the sermon, but from an older message that John MacArthur had provided. And I want you to pay attention to that clip when I'm going to air it a little later. It's an older message that he shared with, I believe, on Ligonier Ministries. So stay tuned for that. It's regarding the truth of the Bible. Back to the article. Ryle was known as a lion for the truth, and he was both intensely loved and intensely hated for his fidelity to the Bible. The scope of his writing was vast, but of particular interest to him was the relationship between church and state. He recognized the foundational principle that all people and all nations are called to worship the true God. He understood that it isn't an option, it is a divine command. That understanding rests on some foundational truths. First of all, we must acknowledge that man was created by God in the image of God and for the glory of God. Some knowledge of the one true God and his moral law is written on our hearts. Romans 1, 18 through 20, chapter 2, 14 through 15. Such that unrepentant sinners are without excuse. No one can claim ignorance for failing to seek and know and worship the God of the Bible. I like to say, in just to underline that, there are no such thing as atheists, right? Every human has a conscience, a God awareness. So that's important to know that. Yet while we're surrounded by evidence of his existence through the testimony of his creative work, creation, man's fallen, unrepentant heart pulls him away from the true God. Ryle understood that sinful bent, saying, quote, any worship is more pleasing to the natural heart than worshiping God in the way our Lord Jesus describes it as worshiping in spirit and truth. I believe that's pulled from the Gospel of John chapter 4, when Jesus meets the woman at the well. The Apostle Paul, borrowing language from the Old Testament, put it even more bluntly, quote, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. Romans 3, 10 through 12. The natural heart flees from the accountability to God at every opportunity. The Bible consistently exhorts all people and nations to repent from that deviation and submit to God. Scripture reminds us over and over that there is only one true God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no other God. Isaiah 45, 5. The Old Testament law warns against the folly of idolatry. Quote, you shall not worship any other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Exodus 34, 14. These aren't merely commands for God's covenant people. They apply to all nations. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33, 8. Quote, praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, end quote. Psalm 117, verse 1. Scripture actually reveals repeatedly what happens when a nation and its leaders refuse to obey the law of God. One example is Nebuchadnezzar, who ruled over the Babylonian Empire, one of the richest and most vast the world has ever seen. In his pride, he refused to acknowledge God, choosing instead to deify himself. We have a lot of that going on today. We've had a lot of that going on throughout the all of the empires where these rulers stated them such as to be a god. I'm thinking of Herod, the one who was eating up his worms, who wouldn't... someone said that he had... If I have the story correct, it's in the... I think it's in the Book of Acts where he had the voice of a god of some sort, and he didn't refuse that. He accepted it, and of course, we know worms ate him up. Scripture actually reveals repeatedly what happens when a nation... Okay, I read that. Okay, so... As moving forward, in his pride, this is Nebuchadnezzar, he refused to acknowledge God, choosing instead to deify himself. As punishment for his arrogance, he spent years wandering the land in a beast-like stupor until, as the humble king explains, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. You see, I'm stopping in mid-verse here. God is a God who's ruling and overruling. He'll never be taken off the throne. He is our head. Jesus Christ is our head. He is the Son of God who is the head of the body, the church. He's never to be removed. Back to this. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Think about that. It doesn't take God anything to think of what we are. But he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" That's Daniel 4:34-35. You should take a look at that story of King Nebuchadnezzar. It's a great story. We see the three Hebrew children. We see what they went up against regarding his edict to bow down to the image that was set up, and these three Hebrew children didn't do it, and he saw that and was amazed by it, obviously, and God had a purpose for King Nebuchadnezzar. Failing to acknowledge God and live in accordance with his law unleashes God's judgment on leaders and on a society, marked by a descent into lawlessness, degradation, and corruption. The Apostle Paul lays out the pattern for us in the book of Romans. And this is from Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:18-22. Our nation has rejected God and his law, and we are watching the consequences play out on a daily basis. You see those riots, right? We see the press going full court press, no pun intended there, to lobby heavy-handed questions to one candidate that are even insults mainly. And then you also have softball questions going to another candidate. And it's just they're playing on issues as race. They're playing on issues with women. They're playing on issues with all sorts of police brutality. All of these issues are made in such a way to foment unrest. Our nation has rejected God and his law. That's really the problem here. God and his law is no longer wanted. As the culture sinks lower into chaos, confusion, corruption, perversion, and wretchedness. If you want proof that we have forfeited our ability to reason and to think clearly, look no further than the faulty solutions that are promoted to address our problems. It seems the answer to racism is more racism. with some calling for the resegregation of society. Others promote various kinds of, quote, justice, end quote, that are anything but just. The latest example I've encountered, so this is John MacArthur, he's encountered this, is called, quote, research justice, which is the wholesale rejection of any research done by white heterosexual males. That kind of abject bias is a death sentence for the scientific community, blunting the edge of technological advancement for years to come. But the trend is nevertheless on the rise. Such is the futility and the irrationality of the reprobate mind that rejects God. He could have said any race there too, mind you. He could have said anything. And these are the construct that are made up in society. Scripture only teaches that there's one race. It's a human race. Obviously, the distinctions are Jew and Gentile. We know that. See Ephesians for that. Postmodernism is a deteriorating into outright paganism. The social justice movement is founded on the absurd idea that everything is a social construct, that each person is born without any innate characteristics, only to be shaped and molded by the white male patriarchy or some other oppressor class. The typical person today fundamentally denies God's image in humanity and won't submit to his divine authority over his own creation. I want to stop there. As a society, we've gone over this. At least I've talked about this at one point. We're taking our own word over God's word. We're authoritatively inserting our opinions and making them as truth. Whereas truth is objective, there's only one truth. It's the word of God. And not everybody likes that. There's only one way to God. It's through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. Again, that's the only truth that you're going to know that is absolutely true. Meanwhile, social justicians are intent on tearing down every last element of society. See, there's a path of destruction here. One group feels oppressed, everybody else must suffer. That's like a crash and burn mentality there to say, you've oppressed us for so long, we're going to make you suffer now. That's just a path of destruction. They are increasingly targeting the church. That was the last sentence there. A nation that gives into and even champions such backward thinking isn't far off from utter chaos and anarchy. Bishop Ryle understood the dire consequences that accrue when a country abandons the one true God. Regarding his homeland, national apostasy, he wrote, "In what manner God would punish England if English government cast off all connections with him, I cannot tell. Whether he would punish us by some sudden blow, such as a defeat in war, and the occupation of our territory by some foreign power, whether he would waste us away gradually and slowing by loss of commercial prosperity, whether he would break us to pieces by letting fools rule over us and allowing Parliament to obey them, whether he would ruin us by sending a dearth of wise statesmen. But one thing I am sure, the state that sows the seed of national neglect of God will sooner or later reap a harvest of national disaster and national ruin." Without me going any further, Bishop Ryle died in 1900. Now, you know what happened after that, if you know your history. Does that sound familiar? Our nation is on fire. That's the United States he's referring to. And many of our leaders are content to fiddle and watch it burn. Those of us who are believers urgently need to pray for them. That, like Nebuchadnezzar, that their eyes would be open to the futility of their ways and the clarity of God's law. We need to flood this dark world with the light of God's truth. We need to be the salt that preserves this rapidly rotting culture. We need to bring the truth of God's word and his law to bear on the hearts of men and women who cannot comprehend the confusion and corruption that dominate their lives. Historically, the church has identified three key purposes or uses of God's law. First, it shows how sinful man, how far short he falls of God's holy standard, revealing his desperate need for a redeemer and savior. Second, it provides a standard of behavior that promotes the believer's sanctification, spiritually growing him progressively in the likeness of Christ. The third purpose has a broader application. God's law restrains evil in a society. What we're seeing today is how evil is unleashed in a society when God and His law are rejected. Now is not the time to suspend the worship of the true God, to remove the authority of His word by silencing the voice of His church. Considering the evidence around us, you'd have to conclude that the church has never been more essential. And a hearty amen from me to you, Pastor John MacArthur. There's a clip here. If you go into this article that I just read to you, there is a link that says this. Watch the full sermon on which this opinion piece is based here. And then it just tells you who John MacArthur is and what the Daily Wire is. So that's a good article. While I have you there, before I get into this other article, I want you to listen to this clip. This clip here is important because it goes back in time, obviously, but it also highlights what's going on concerning the Bible, and I want you to listen to that. So I'm going to turn my mic down so you can listen. All right? All right.
End quote. This is not a place where we can flinch. As Patricia and I were driving in tonight, watching all of you flow in here, I said the common motivation here for all these people is the love of the truth. That's why you're here. You want the truth. And the battle for the Bible is the battle for the truth. That's what energizes me every day of my life. And the truth is under relentless and endless assault, as we all know. And a good place, I think, to begin to look at this, I am a Bible teacher primarily, and so I always like to go to the text. Open your Bible to the third chapter of Genesis. The third chapter of Genesis. And I want to talk a little bit about the first assault on the word truth.
All right, I seem to have lost the clip. Let me just go back. Technical difficulties. Yeah, we got Todd Friel now. I apologize for that. Let me back up.
Well, good morning. You know you're in a different kind of church when you walk in and the first thing you see is a book for children on Irenaeus. What kind of people are you? It's good to be
here. Oh, we lost that one. Let me see if I can get back to this. I apologize for that. A couple of streaming issues.
This particular assignment that I've been given is pretty formidable. Here is the source of the first lie. And the first lie is that God didn't tell you the truth. Only in lying is Satan consistent.
All right, he's reading Genesis 3. He's referring to Genesis 3. So for time purposes, I want you to listen to this.
And he begins with what sounds like an innocuous and innocent question from a sort of neutral, interested observer concerned for Eve's well-being. Soon, however, he says that he knows more than God. God is wrong and I am right. God said you'll die, and I'll tell you, you won't. This is essentially what happens here. God says one thing, and Satan says God is a liar, and another thing is the truth. Let's follow the strategy a little bit, because I think it's very instructive. At least picking it up in the middle of verse 2, he says to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? This beginning is safe enough. He just asks a simple question. Indeed, has God said? He chooses Elohim rather than Yahweh, the emphasis on sovereign Lord. And here you have the first question in the Bible. This is actually posing the first dilemma in human history. There were no dilemmas until this one. And the question is designed to start Eve on the path to doubting God's word. And doubting God's word is the essence of sin. You could actually translate this, so God has said, as he. And for the first time, the most deadly spiritual force was covertly smuggled into the world. What was it? The assumption that what God has said is subject to human judgment.
And that's the problem today. What God says is subject to our opinion. What did I just say earlier? The elevation of our word over God's word. That is the problem. Of course, we know the devil is, or Satan is running his course here on this earth too. We know that to be true. And I wanted to highlight that clip for you because I wanted to underline that. And I apologize for all the technical difficulties. What I'll do is I'll try to cut out all that pause and everything. So that way you'll get a full continuity there. So that's, I wanted to show you that. So let me go back to this article here by Jenna Ellis. And she is the attorney for the president. She's also representing the church. Her opinion here is the necessary leadership of Donald Trump and John MacArthur. The nature of leadership is that leaders are out in front. True leaders are the first to go into the unknown and forge a path yet untrod. The nature of battles and litigation is that sometimes leaders are compelled to pave the way for others in untried areas, because the matter at issue is so important. Many leaders throughout the world history would catapult society to new depths of recognizing the differences between truth and error because they took a stand. The Protestant Reformation was built upon one leader saying simply, quote, here I stand, I can do no other. That would be known as Martin Luther, the Reformer, and willingly facing unknown persecution and trial for proclaiming the truth of God. Our American civil government was built upon our founding fathers standing firm in recognizing and abiding the truth that our rights come from God, our Creator, when they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, defending our inalienable rights against a government system that had grievously trampled upon free exercise of religion. We have a great heritage from all the men and women throughout world history who chose to be leaders in their time, an era to stand firm for the truth and the biblical principles of God's institutions of civil government, church, and the family. These immutable, and that means unchanging, truths have withstood attacks from every side because we had leaders willing to stand up immovably in the truth of God, without fear of man's judgment or ridicule. Truth is more important to real leaders than man's and media's false opinion. Okay, here she says something about President Trump. President Trump is a leader at this moment in world history who is standing firm for truth and civil government. Regardless of the incessant false and maligning attacks, he consistently does what is right by exercising the powers of his office to protect our God-given rights. This is not referring to his past, and that's important to understand. What is he doing right now? He understands why it's necessary to protect our American system of limited government and everything our founding fathers fought for and died for to give us this great land of opportunity founded on the novel recognition that civil government exists not for its own power, but to protect the rights of every human being made in God's own image. I'm just going to skip this little other part. John MacArthur is the leader at this moment in world history who is standing firm for truth in the church. Before the novel coronavirus ever existed, Pastor MacArthur preached for 51 years the truth of the gospel of Christ and the necessity of being the church to the world. Now, in a series of events no one could have anticipated, and in the face of possible arrest and jail, Pastor MacArthur is simply continuing to do what he has done every day previously, standing firm, preaching the truth of the gospel of Christ. This is not a rebellion for Pastor MacArthur. This is a conviction that compelled him to face hostile persecution from a rebellious local government and continue to be the pastor his community and congregation may rely upon. He has taught for over half a century the importance of civil authority and also the necessary limits of that authority upon the church. Importantly, both President Trump and Pastor MacArthur are standing firm for that church is essential. God in society is essential. Our American system of government is founded on the moral recognition of Judeo-Christian values. First Amendment protections, including religious freedom and peaceful assembly, pro-life, Second Amendment rights, and good judges who will hold the political branches accountable, are all essential to a morally upright, well-ordered society. She goes on, our Constitution was fought for, debated over, and ultimately ratified by statesmen and clergy with precisely the same courage and conviction to stand for truth as President Trump and Pastor MacArthur. And she says, I cannot think of two men more necessary for America today, and I'm grateful for their leadership. We need these true, courageous leaders in civil government and the church, and we have them in President Trump and Pastor MacArthur. Let us endeavor to follow their leadership and vote for four more. She wants you to vote for President Trump. Celebrate Pastor MacArthur's church leadership in recognizing the inalienable rights to free exercise of religion. America's reliance on the courage and wisdom of President Trump and Pastor MacArthur will be permanently fixed in world history as the necessary leaders of our era. So it's a pro defending her clients, obviously. She's going to do that. She's their attorney. But it's necessary to read this because I don't want to make this a political video. That's not the idea. But the fact that the president and John MacArthur are talking to each other, maybe it's routinely, maybe it's once or twice. My prayer and my hope is that the president hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and repents of his sin and trusts in Christ as his Savior. That's the goal. That's the reason why I'm talking about it tonight. I'm concerned about our president. I want him to know the Lord. Obviously, his past we all know about, but what he's done as president is distinctly important, too. This video is made just to underline what conviction Pastor MacArthur has and the conviction and the courage that also the president has. So this is important. Being with the church, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you need to be with the church, go to church. This COVID thing is getting blown way out of proportion and it's being taken advantage of. And that needs to stop. Obviously, we want to protect the sick. Obviously, I've always said this in my videos, protect the sick. Keep them away from sicknesses, right? What did they do in the past? You quarantined them, right? Keep them away. And in such a way that they're protected so that they get better, so that they get the right, proper care. And they recover and go right back into society. This is the fact that we have wicked men across the earth, all unsaved men, not in Jesus Christ. God calls them the wicked. And where this virus began, whether it began in Europe, whether it began in China, which I think it began in China, there are people out there reporting it that it was man-made. You know, there are people being stifled over this and silenced. And when the truth is coming out, you're seeing a lot of that today. You're seeing censorship. You're seeing social media accounts. Granted, they're on these liberal platforms. They're stifling free speech. And it's given growth to different platforms you can go on. So if you're not familiar with these platforms, one of them is Parler. You can go on Parler. You can find me there on Parler. It's under my name, Joshua Fritz, and also the look up the Godcast with Josh Fritz. You'll see these logos behind me, and you'll know that I'm on there. And there might be more social medias that are allowing free speech. So if you need to see me or talk to me, you can reach me at 631-209-7457. That's the hotline number. If you have any comments, concerns you want to share with me, I did log out of the chat, so I apologize for that, just because so I can have a way to read these articles. You can email me at livebiblestudies412@gmail.com if you have any updates concerning this issue regarding John MacArthur and Grace Community Church. I'd be more than willing to share that information with you, anything that we can speak to about it. Be encouraged. Pray for John MacArthur and Grace Community Church. Pray for the president, too, as he's up for re-election. And pray for also the opposing candidate, Joseph Biden. Pray for him as well. I urge you to seek the truth in the scripture. Don't ever let anyone tell you anything where you're questioning something. Go dig it out like a Berean. The Bereans were noble. They searched the scriptures to see if those things that were they heard were true. Go and do that. Look into the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's word for it. Do it yourself. Do the work. Dig for the treasure, right? So, with that, this has been another video of the Godcast with Josh Fritz. Thank you for joining me tonight. Again, one last time, if you feel so obliged to support this ministry or even support the Bible Thumping Wingnut ministry, go to www.BibleThumpingWingnut.com. And also, if you feel so obliged, go to thegodcastwithjoshfritz.com. You'll see all the links there regarding donating to this ministry if you feel the need to. I always say this, give to your local church before you give to any other ministry. That is the most important. Help your pastor. Be a blessing to your pastor. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. We'll see you here next time with updates on this issue. Pastor John MacArthur is in; they are in court tomorrow, so we'll be finding out that about that contempt order and what happens with that. So God bless you guys. See you guys next time here on the Godcast. See ya. Desire, and I long to worship.
Jesus.